Intervju Radija Študent.
Robert Andrew. Jezik kot kolonizatorsko orodje. Te dni je v galeriji Kapelica na ogled stratifikacija podatkov. Delo avstralskega umetnika Roberta Andrewa. Gre za kompleksno kinetično instalacijo, ki naslavlja še kompleksnejšo problematiko. Obe kompleksnosti bomo v pričujoči oddaji skušali razplesti skupaj z umetnikom. Andrew v svoji umetniški praksi predeluje problematiko koloniziranja Avstralije, predvsem z ozirom na vpliv koloniziranja na sodobnost.
Within my work, I suppose I look at Australian, representing a side of Australian history, Aboriginal history within my work, telling a personal story, and I think that's with many personal stories, the personal is political, and I can't talk about. I can talk about how I've seen Australian history with Aboriginal colonisation of Australia and what's happened within my family through that colonisation process. So my work looks at that, what has happened from, I suppose, colonisation to this point now and the ongoing effects of that process and the denials of Aboriginal history. And denials, just general denials of Aboriginal culture within Australia. So that's, I just deal with that little, I suppose, a personal family side of that and telling that story within my artwork.
Tudi za Andrewa je osebno politično. Kot poreklo mnogih drugih Avstralcev, je tudi njegovo etnično mešano, med drugim tudi aboriginsko. Zase sicer pravi, da ni aboriginski umetnik, temveč umetnik z aboriginskimi koreninami. Ampak zakaj mu je njegovo družinsko poreklo tako pomembno? Kako je ravno to postalo fokus njegovega tako osebnega kot umetniškega zanimanja?
Through my education I was told about Aboriginal people. And this is in the 70s, 80s. And my understanding of Aboriginal people was Captain Cook came to Australia and he basically settled in Australia. Aboriginal people were generally happy that they were there and they just let them have all the good bits. And they lived in pumpies in the desert. So very little sort of knowledge about Aboriginal people and Aboriginal culture. And they're always seen as noble savages, primitive noble savages in Australia. And it wasn't until my sister did a lot of research. She went through an art program in Melbourne, and through her story, she told me about some of the histories that happened in Australia. And these were things I didn't know about, and a lot of Australians don't know about these histories. And that sort of, it was, I suppose, a very defining point because I realised what I thought about Aboriginal people was really wrong. I had racist views myself, and to understand, well, I couldn't see how I fitted in to being an Aboriginal person. I was acknowledged that I had Aboriginal blood, but I didn't see how I fitted. So I started at my partner, who was working at the university in Brisbane, met a couple of the lecturers from the CHIA group, which is the Contemporary Australian Indigenous Art Unit, and basically encouraged me to go and see them, because what they were doing, they were researching their families. That was part of the course, is researching your families and making art. And I like the idea of just being able to research my family and find out more about my Aboriginal heritage and Aboriginal history. And that's where it started, and I realised through that learning and research that my art was secondary for what I went there for, and I found that making art was a really, really powerful tool to be able to tell stories. And it was ways that I could do my English skills a little bit better now, as in my writing skills. But back then they were very limited. I had a lot of help to get better at what I was to verbally. Still not very good, but I can sort of get around things. But my art was just a really potent way to be able to express those ideas and have a message in them that people could relate to. And again, coming back to the idea that the personal is political, these things, the way I was looking at what happened to our family and that colonisation process within the personal, was something that was universal, not just within, I suppose, Australian and Australian Aboriginal people and that colonisation process. The colonisation has happened all over the world. So it's sort of that's where it started, and that's where I suppose my passion is about it. It came from just wanting to know more, and once I realised what was out there, it was fairly terrifying, just wanting to understand it more and tell something, or sort of get that out there within my artwork, I suppose.
Umetnostna zgodovina se je relativno pred kratkim začela zavedati problematike neposrednega subsumiranja aboriginske vizualne produkcije pod zahodnjaški pojem umetnosti. Funkcija prve je bila skozi zgodovino namreč predvsem biti pripomoček, uporabljen ob ustnem pripovedovanju zgodb. Andrew, kot nekdo, ki svojo umetniško prakso stoji na prehodu med obema, domnevno ostri konflikt razreši elegantno. Tudi funkcija umetnosti je zanj najprej pripovedovanje zgodb. Pokomentira še razvoj aboriginske vizualne produkcije in njen današnji status.
Yeah, that's pretty well right. It's about storytelling. It was used in ceremony. It's one of those things that's really hard to define what is art, because I mean, art has always been about storytelling. So images have always been about storytelling in some way, even though they could be more abstracted. So Aboriginal art, I think pre-colonisation in Australia, had a different role to what it does now, because it was more a traditional role within traditional Aboriginal culture, and it was about that storytelling, it was about ceremony, and it's about recording, I suppose. Still, it's like art now, he records history within the art, I think. Now, it is still storytelling. A lot of Aboriginal people from more traditional backgrounds will use their artwork to tell older stories, traditional older stories. Now these stories are still being told. The previous stories are within the art field, but they're divided into different areas. There's to tell a traditional story, you have to have permission from your language group. Mm-hmm. So I can't do Aboriginal painting to tell a story of, say, the Yaru people, which where my mum comes from, without permission. So it's a lot of these stories have sacred elements, and to do the stories that are held for men or for women, and they can't go beyond that. Some stories are more general stories that people still tell within the artwork. So there's different ways of doing it, and then other Aboriginal artists then tell more contemporary stories within their artwork. So it's sort of evolved, and it's like any culture, it has evolved from one way of looking at or storytelling, and then this has evolved into another way, using more contemporary methods sometimes rather than painting, because previously it might have been bark painting or sort of sand painting or painting on themselves in different ways, and now it's using more contemporary materials, like I use contemporary materials and natural materials. So it's a big question.
tudi sebe kot umetnika vidi primarno kot pripovedovalca zgodb. V njegovem primeru družinskih in drugih zgodb, ki so bile zanikane in potisnjene v ozadje. Če slednje morda razrešuje napetost med aboriginsko in zahodnjaško umetnostjo, pa neskladje za Andrewa obstaja tudi na osebni ravni. Je potomec tako kolonizatorjev kot koloniziranih. Spor podvaja in obenem razplete na umetniški ravni, z izborom in uporabo materialov. Naravne materiale, zemljo, vodo, veje, kamne in podobno, kombinira s tehnologijo, z žicami, računalniškimi programi in podobnim. Ali tudi na ravni materialov obstaja konflikt?
There is conflict between the two. I suppose originally I was looking at the materials as, I mean, I've always grown up with technology and always been making and playing with technology, so it's something that's part of my upbringing, and that's a part that I like to play with and to experiment with. I've always been modifying and subverting electronic devices to do other things and learning how things work. So I think part of that was it was wanting. I saw that as part of my part of that heritage. Sometimes I think within those materials, but it was. I think what happened when I started playing with the natural materials and I suppose the more the sort of the Western technologies and the more refined materials. Was there was this place that met in the middle, that there was this me relinquishing control of that when it was combined with the natural materials. There was something that happened in the middle that I could program something and it would be a binary output and it would do a certain thing, and to add the natural materials in there, it actually produced something that that I couldn't anticipate sometimes. There was this happenstance or serendipitous moments that happened within that space. And for me, looking at that space, it's that Homi Bhabha talks about the third space, and I've sort of researched a little about what he was talking about within culture. It's not one or the other, it's a combination of both, but it becomes an entity within itself. So by using those materials, I'm not just that anymore, or that there's something that happens that becomes a unique element. And I think that's part of I see myself as I learn more about my Indigenous heritage and my and I suppose what my non-Indigenous heritage and has sort of done within Australia, then there's this space that is created in between, which is not that nor that anymore. I think that's why I like using those materials, is partly for that. But one of the works I use in it, it's this work, Data Stratification. I had the idea of the text and the strings. I was going to use 200 strings instead of 100, which is a really stupid idea because of the amount of strings. I would have been here another 4 days. But it was. I had that idea of that translation. I could imagine it going off to these hanging objects, but it's not until I put them there and do that I realise what had happened with it. It is a binary input there, but what happens in that becomes something completely different to what was there. It's not relatable or readable from there. You can see the connection, but it becomes something completely different. It's become something that is the whole thing is more of a visceral experience rather than a cerebral experience for me, and trying to think these things through. I probably could if I sort of engineering went through and worked out these things, but for me, I like leaving that space for that, I suppose that reveal or that moment where I'm shown what happens when these things come together. So sometimes I use water as well, and there's that meeting of water and this technology and squirting water on the ochres and oxides. I know that's going to happen, but how it bleeds down the surface and how it runs across the floor is something that's that is left up to its own. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of me relinquishing control sometimes over a mechanism when you put two things together and saying, yeah, do what you think you should do.
Bolj kot posamezni ekstremi ga torej zanima tisti prostor, ki vznikne vmes. In ravno zaradi uporabe naravnih materialov praviloma vznikne na nepredvidene načine. Andrewov umetniški pristop je tako osvežujoče deracionaliziran. Slednje zaznamo še posebej, ko slišimo, koliko vrednosti polaga v napake v srečne nesreče.
Pre-art career, if I did something wrong, and this is not with everything, but some of my mistakes are some of my, I suppose, biggest breakthroughs within my artistic practice. Things that happen that shouldn't happen, that accident, whether it's yeah. So I don't know. I embrace the happy accident, those moments of something failing and failing spectacularly that actually gives you another way of looking at something and a potential new artwork because of the way that happens. And it's sort of getting beyond that moment of, there's some things that you just don't want to happen because, they don't work out. And this is where time comes into it. Sometimes mistakes and accidents, if you haven't got time, it complicates things. But I think one work that I did, it was sort of one of the, well, there's quite a few examples, but one work where I built up ochres and white chalk onto a surface that then the water erases that white chalk off the ochres and bleeds down the surface. And you might have seen some works on my webpage with that. It was set up in Supreme Court Library in Brisbane. It was only meant for the opening, which is one night, and it was set up against a big window. I've never done that before, so the oak was facing forward. I got a call early one morning, and someone said that my work's been vandalised. And then they went through the security footage, and they just had all this white chalk and ochre just been scraped off or something and was lying on the ground. And they looked through the footage, and because of the sun was behind it, after a while, the whole surface just went boop, and fell on the ground. And it was just that laying, the way it fell on the floor, onto this black surface that I had underneath, was just a really, really magic sort of pattern. And there's that idea of these things that just happen over time or just fall off, and the result is just one of those magic moments that it was a mistake and I had to fix it really quickly, and it caused a little bit of stress, but it was a moment that you just go, wow, there's that. I wouldn't be thinking of that if that didn't happen.
A zakaj potem uporabiti ravno racionalno tehnologijo? Ali gre bolj za metodo kot za orodje?
Yeah, it becomes I'm still, and this is one of the things when I was doing my exegesis, is trying to work out why I use technology in there, but part of it is that use of technology I'm using things that, I mean, I make all that, but they're readily available. It's a plotter, basically, that I'm using in the dance stratification. It's the manipulation. It's not taking something off the shelf and going, that's what it is, the technology. It's actually manipulating or subverting that technology in a way that is the way I like to use it. It's not something that I want to use. I was going to say it was a tool, but it's not a tool. It's something that I want, that contrast between them. That contrast is really important for me with the technology. The technology, not so much. That I get excited about technology, not like you get excited about a new phone or something. I get excited about technology when I realize I can do something completely different to its intended purpose. It still have it there as the the original looking device that people can go, oh, that's that, but then making it do something that alters it completely, I suppose it's subverting that I suppose the Western power of that technology. It's like finding a tool of a colonizer and going, hey, I'm not going to use it for that anymore. I'm going to use it for my own purposes rather than you telling me this is what it's made for and you use it for that. So it's like, no, I'm going to use it to tell my story. So it's taking a bit from there and actually changing it around to tell a story that it was never intended to tell. So I don't know. There's this weird dynamic for me with technology and the natural materials. It's something that I could never get rid of the technology and just work with the natural materials, or vice versa. It's something that would be foreign to me now.
Subvertiranjem tehnologije, domene kolonizatorjev, za namene uporabe pripovedovanja zgodbe o koloniziranju smo dospeli do ključnega vsebinskega zastavka Andrewovega dela. Ko je govora o kolonizaciji, o strategijah in orodjih, smo navadno pozorni na njen materialni aspekt. Kolonizatorji so s puškami oduzeli dobršni kos zemlje in ustoličili svoj novi red. S tem novim redom se je nadalje prvotne prebivalce postavilo v vlogo drugega. Postali so plemeniti divjaki, usiljena civilizacija pa je postala njihovo odrešenje. Da je ta proces lahko nemoteno potekal, pa niso poskrbele le puške, temveč v veliki in še daljnosežnejši meri tudi nematerialna orodja. Andrew kot tako nematerialno orodje koloniziranja predoči jezik.
Part of my research realized that language within the colonization of Australia is one of their tools to colonize. You take away a language or impose a language, is disable cultures by overlaying another language. You take away more than just the culture. I mean, you're removing people. You're trying to assimilate them into another language. And so for me, that I think, and it's seeing it across a whole lot of different languages where there's words that don't translate into English. There's concepts that don't translate. They can sort of roughly get what it is. But so within that, to take away, and within Australia there's over 250, there's languages pre-colonisation. A lot of those are gone. So some of them within language groups were fairly, there was similarities, but from one side to Australia, those similarities left. So when you're learning a language within your language group, say where my Aboriginal heritage comes from is a town called Broome, which is in Western Australia. It has a certain, I mean, it's a different country from where I'm in Perth or something like that. So the words you learn there are in context with the place. That just when you learn, you say, I mean, there's common words. I mean, if you do a tree or something like that, but usually there's not just four words for a season. So there's time is a different concept because you're not relating. I mean, we talk with spring now or summer now, it's this time. But within the language, there's language that describes different events related to a whole lot of other things that are coming together at that time for a time period. So it might be the certain fish are running, that certain fish are actually coming out more because this is happening, because that happening, and this interrelatedness between everything that describes a certain time, rather than we go, it's this time. So there's, and that's only one little example, but it's for me, it's that, I suppose, looking at that removal of language and the displacement of that culture through that removal of language.
Angliški jezik Andrew tako razume kot specifično orodje za fragmentiranje izvornih družb, zahodna abeceda je izvorno zlo. Prvič zato, ker je sam proces simbolizacije drugačen in nezdružljiv, drugič pa zato, ker je sama tvorba konceptov postavljena na drugih temeljih.
One word that I use in there, buru, which means buru, which is ground, country, time. Ground, country, soil, time and space.
All that. Yep.
That word, I'd have to learn that word. I get permission to use these words, but that's the word, the translation they gave me. The elders gave me in Broome, but to learn that word, I'd have to go there, stand on that country, and actually learn that word over a long period of time to understand it through different seasons, through different times, and just to understand that the whole concept of that word. There's no English equivalent. And sort of you add time and space to those, and it's just something that's different. And I think there's a lot of language that you lose that out of your culture, then you've lost a section that you no longer have access to that explain other parts of your culture, everything you might be connected around. So for me, that's that exploration, I suppose, within that text is to I suppose. Yeah.
Tudi psihologi zadnja leta ugotavljajo, da jezik, ki ga govorimo, vpliva na naše dojemanje sveta, emocije in podobno. Jezik torej odločilno oblikuje naše mišljenje. Z izgubo oziroma nedostopom do jezika je tako potencialno izgubljena oziroma onemogočena celotna kultura, saj usiljen jezik nujno ne dopušča vseh njenih razsežnosti in specifik. Zadeva je pri aboriginski kulturi še toliko bolj akutna, gre namreč za pretežno ustno kulturo.
I think language is powerful in a lot of different ways, and Aboriginal culture was an oral culture, so it was only spoken words. There was the artwork or the images they created, and then there was probably body language and the oral language. So there's a lot of meaning that happens within that language to express yourself. And I think, yeah, losing that, then a lot of cultures have lost that connection and starting to make them back. But once you don't have any speakers of that language anymore, even within English interpretations that have been written down, you have that translation from, at the time, probably white male, sort of upper or middle class white male with his ways of seeing, trying to translate something that, and there's so much loss within that translation.
V kapelici razstavljena stratifikacija podatkov naslavlja ravno to nezmožnost angleščine, da bi simbolizirala koncepte aboriginskih kultur. Je vizualizacija procesa izgube s prevajanjem in poskus ponovnega vznika pomenov. Instalacija, sestavljena iz tehnologije, zbirke predmetov in naravnih materialov, je nekakšen ne-prevajalski stroj. Izhodiščne besede izginjajočega jezika ljudstva Jauru program prevede v angleške neustreznice in jih kot kodo odpošlje v stroj, ki temelji na kartezijanskem geometrijskem sistemu. A s tem je racionalnosti konec. Sistem nadalje skoraj marionetno zastavljenim sistemom žic premika razne predmete, ki potem bodi si senco, bodi si strenjem, ob slikarsko platno vizualizirajo prevod. Iz mašine, skratka iz binarnega zapisa, tako nastane nekaj, kar bi le stežka zapopadli razumsko. Andrew je tako ustvaril zelo rahločutno, a obenem odločno in prodorno gesto, ki z eno potezo deracionalizira racionalno in uprizori manko, ter obenem oživlja tisto onstran tega manka. Stratifikacijo podatkov si v galeriji Kapelica lahko ogledate še do 23. novembra. Pogovarjala se je Živa. Latitude
Intervju Radija Študent.